Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to the Coliseum, the 50th anniversary of opening day for the A's here at the Coliseum. It's gone by pretty quickly. There's been an awful lot of history, and that history is being re-embraced by the A's. Their new president, Dave Cavill, has this team have a feeling around it that you can actually feel out here, excitement from the crowd. It is a better brand of baseball for A's and A's fans to enjoy. Along with Gianna Franco, I'm Damon Bruce. It is great to be with you here on this opening day. Happy New Year, Gianna.
Happy New Year, Damon.
And Happy New Year to Sean Manaea of the Oakland A's as well, who is good enough to sit down and join us here. Sean, good to see you, man.
Yeah, nice seeing you, you too. Happy opening day, and yeah, looking forward.
Absolutely.
To
here, let's move the mic just a tiny bit closer to you there. Oh,
right there. Good, now you sound perfect.
Like a major leaguer, man. Yeah. That is fantastic.
Awesome.
It is great to see you here. This is your first Major League opening day.
Yes,
sir. Are
is.
You excited? You don't have too many duties here today, right? I don't think we're going to see you at any point in time. So you can kind of sit back and enjoy the view, can't you?
Yeah, I'm really excited. First opening day, I'm really excited to see Kendall pitch, watch the game, see all the festivities, Ricky Henderson, dedication. And it's just a lot of fun. I'm glad I got to, be up here, watching the opening night as a kid on TV is always really special. And actually being here is even more special. So looking forward to it and can't wait to get the season going.
24 starts for you last year. Came in with an ERA under 4, had an impressive strikeout total. What'd you think of your rookie year?
It was good. There was the first couple months were a little rough, but you're going to have that throughout your career, and I'm glad I went through all those struggles. So definitely learned a lot, and try to take something away from each game, even if it was bad or if it was good or anything like that. So overall, I thought I did really well, and I learned a lot of things, and just going to take it into the season and get the ball rolling.
Sean Manaea of the Oakland A's, tell us a little bit about your off season. How is Arizona to you? I know that's where you make your off season home. What did you focus on? Strength, conditioning. What do you call it? Mobility? That's a new word that people use around here. How's your mobility, Sean?
I feel like my mobility is pretty good. I'm pretty flexible for a big guy, I'd say. And off season was really good. Stayed out in Arizona, lived in Scottsdale, and the whole time I was just focusing on not being hurt. Last year I was on the DL twice, and I really tried to focus on those two things that put me on the DL last year. So it was really good. I had a lot of grade of trainers, and I got to work out with a bunch of big leaguers at the place I worked out at. So it was really nice.
Other clubs, big leaguers from other clubs.
Yeah, Julius Chacin, he started for the Padres tonight. Evan Longoria, Jacoby Ellsbury, Dust Madroya, Bogarts. There's a lot of guys at the place I worked out at, and it was a lot of fun. Just got to watching them work out, doing their thing, and just hanging out, chit chatting with them. So
it's fun. You might have a better chance of bumping into a major leaguer in Phoenix in the off season than you do in a ballpark during the regular season.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a hot spot for a lot of people, and it's beautiful out there. Weather's perfect, and there's just so much stuff to do. So I'm glad I got to stay out there for the off season and try to get strong for the season.
And it's a dry heat.
Yes.
It's very dry heat.
It is very dry heat, especially during the summer. The first time I ever came out to Arizona was during the summer, and I'd never experienced anything like that before. So it's definitely an eye-opener.
Sean Manaea here on 95.7 The Game. I don't know what to expect from this season in terms of a win-loss total for you guys. It feels like the American League West is officially the Texas Rangers and everybody else.
Yes.
Is that fair?
I would say that. They're a really good ball club, and the AL West is, all together, I'd say, is, just really good division. Like you said, I can't tell you what our win-loss is going to be, but I feel like the group of guys that we have right now is a very good good mix. We have a bunch of young guys, some a lot of veteran guys, and you know, if we can all just pull for each other and just mix very well, it's I feel like we have a really good season.
There's a lot of talent in this rotation. There isn't an awful lot of starts, though. There's not a lot of experience. We were talking with Glenn Kuiper earlier and Ken Korak, two of the broadcasters for the A's, and they both agreed inning count out of you guys is going to be huge. Mm-hmm. Any night a young A's starter kisses the seventh inning is just gravy time. It really is, and all that adds up to spare the bullpen. I know you still got some question marks at closer. I don't know why he just doesn't say Madsen, because it sounds like Madsen to me. But, I totally agreed with that. Just eating innings, not getting chased early, that's a big part of it for you guys this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. Last year, me coming up, pretty early, that was kind of one of my downfalls, is throw a lot of pitches and get taken out of the game pretty early. And that's just, one of my pet peeves as a, starting pitcher is, not going past the fifth or, getting taken out really early. And it really bothered me. So, I'm trying to do everything I can this year to, extend those innings and go deeper in the ball games. And I know Kendall does a really good job. He's, had a full year last year and he had a lot of innings. So, he's a, leader of our staff right now. And I feel like he's, grown a lot as a pitcher. And he's going to, hopefully have a, great season this year. And, like you said, it's a really young staff the bullpen, try not to wear them out, but you never know what is going to happen during the season. So we'll try to do our best and try to go deeper into ball games as much as we can.
Are you more comfortable with either Vogt or Fegley behind the plate? Does it matter to you?
Doesn't matter to me. They're both really great catchers, I trust everything that they call, and just framing wise, throwing wise, they're about the same. So I can't really pick a favorite. I could hope, if I went out there blindfolded and, didn't know who my catcher was, it wouldn't matter to me.
Matter at all?
No. They both do extremely well, and I'm happy to, have both of them on the team.
Similar philosophies in terms of attacking hitters? Is one guy more aggressive than the other? Likes a little more fast down the middle? Not down the middle. That's not Major League Baseball. But, mm-hmm. Does one guy lean towards off-speed stuff, or they just both know you in the situation?
I'd say they both know me in the situation. I know Vogt has caught me a little more, he's see my changeup a little more, but I feel like they both call great games and for the most part, I agree with mostly what they say. So, whatever they put down, I tend not to shake unless it's something I really don't want to throw. So, I can't really say who's, they're both really good catchers, so I can't, whatever they
it's a good diplomatic answer is what it is. You've done a wonderful job with it. You should just feel good about it. And we'll move on to the fact that Sonny Gray is obviously, he's the ace of the staff. Mm-hmm. And it's too bad that he has to miss another opening day. At least it's not food poisoning this time around.
Yeah.
It is, obviously getting him back in the mix is something that everyone's looking forward to. No player likes talking about his own injuries, much less another player's injury, so we won't ask you that. But just tell us, how is Sonny doing? Does he have a good attitude about everything? He's not dobbered down, he's not pitching tonight. It's got to hurt a little, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, he he's not taking, opening day he's like the ace of staff and he's like really upset about anything. He's just, it's really unfortunate that he is hurt, but he's taking everything, in stride, and he's, has a really positive attitude about everything. I haven't seen him during spring training, his head down or, personality-wise, he's, just same old Sonny. So I feel like he's doing really well, and, he's doing everything he can in the training room to get back on the field as quickly as possible, and he's doing his best. So whenever, he's ready and, his body's, tells him that he's good to go, then he'll be ready, and, that's going to be a great day for A's baseball. So definitely looking forward to that, and hopefully he can go back sooner rather than later.
I know you got to get running here in a little bit. You want to get back to your teammates and enjoy all the festivities. We're going to have everybody line up tonight and all the pomp and circumstance that comes with opening day. We really appreciate you being here and stopping on by. For those who don't know, you are of Samoan descent.
Yes.
Tasty Samoan treat we white people do not know about. What is a Samoan delicacy that we need to know about and start looking for so we live a better, well-rounded, fatter existence?
Oh, man, you can't It's pretty funny because I've actually only been to American Samoa once, and that was in 14. I grew up in Indiana, lived in Indiana my whole life, and
not a lot of Samoan restaurants in Indiana.
No,
I can attribute that.
The only other Polynesian people I met in Indiana were like my brothers and my dad. So really, I really have no idea what Samoan culture is like. Just stuff I've read online. So
you weren't growing up with Samoan. You weren't eating Samoan on Wednesdays,
no.
Whatever that is.
No, it's pretty funny because I'm this is like the first time past couple of years of where I've actually started eating fish. Just growing up, it was kind of just weird to me. I never really liked fish before.
Well,
but
here's the thing: you grew up in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Seafood does not dominate a landlocked state, for goodness sakes.
That's very true. But yeah, it's my dad. Eat any kind of fish, and just whenever he we'd go to like some fish restaurant or something like that, or cook fish, it just didn't really look that appealing to me. So
right.
It's finally starting to grow on me, and I'm trying to get more fish in my diet. But
all right,
I can't really say any Samoan.
No Samoan delicacy. Not even the name of a Samoan cookie. Samoan omelets.
I'm sorry. That's I know it's really bad.
You better get your Samoan knowledge up, man.
I really do.
I mean, I'm not worried about your major league career, but as far as the Samoan, tribal council, the Samoan travel bureau, they're not going to be happy with you, Sean.
They're not. I know. It's something that's on my list, and I definitely got to take care of that.
The next time we talk, you'll have something for us.
Yes, 100%.
And hopefully a whole bunch of wins and a great ERA and off to a great start this year. We wish you the very best of luck in your season. To you and your teammates, and thanks so much for stopping on by.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you.
Nice seeing you,
Sean Manaea joining us here on 95.7 The Game. And you can just get up and walk because we got to keep on talking here. You can just walk, my friend. Thank you very much. See, he's an Indiana man. He was going to sit out
so
the
polite.
Segment. He was going to sit it out and ride it out. I guarantee you when he goes back to the
clubhouse,
he's
going to
go
right
Samoan
now.
Delicacies.
I'm even curious. I'm trying to look it up.
Maybe this is something we research on your...
This will be my next for the sports dish. In fact, I'm going to take what you just said with him and put it on.
You're going to have to make a Samoan delicacy and bring it to Sean.
That's a great idea.
So he can get in touch with his heritage, which obviously his parents had no interest in.
Zero.
While they were raising him in Indiana. See, it doesn't matter where you're from. When you're in Indiana, you're a Hoosier. You're just another.
That's
just,
all you're
worried
about.
You're a Hoosier. You eat fast food. You worry about what Bob Knight might or might not be saying politically, and you just go on with your day. That's it. That's what being a Hoosier is. It's a simple existence. People are like, but culture, and they're like, what about it?
and really, it's all Hoosier. Hoosier's the culture in Indiana.
There it is.
Okay.
There it is. You reject Samoan culture. And you just start eating. You just start eating at Bob Evans.
I think fish was a safe. I would just say, oh, the fish.
The fish, yeah.
Fish.
The fish sounds islandy.
Yep, sounds islandy to me.
Sell it to us. Pineapple fish.
I would
sure.
Pineapple
I would have said, oh, it sounds like delicious.
Sounds good. Sounds like
delicious
you find that on an island.
We are going out to check out some of the food trucks. Looking forward to that.
I know,
when we're
me too.
Done here at 6 o'clock, we're going to have to squeeze in and out though, because we got to be back in here for all of the festivities that are going to be starting tonight. Do we know what some of the trucks are out there? Do we have?
There's a Southern Comfort truck.
Nice.
So we're going to do a little Southern Comfort food.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you meant like Janis Joplin. That's what killed her. The
no.
SoCo.
No. We're going to a little Southern cuisine. We're going to try that out.
Well,
there's a ton out there.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
By the way, I told you we're going to have a couple surprise sit-downs. Hey, how are you during this? He is a host here on 95.7 The Game, and officially maybe one of the six people listening who actually got that Southern Comfort Janis Joplin reference. Rick Tittle, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Damon. It's great to see you. It's pretty cool to do a show actually on the warning track.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
I'm jealous. This is great.
I have, honestly, we've never been set up to this extent. We had a couple chairs out here, chairs graduated to stools at some point. We didn't think we were going to get our own table, but we are parked here right along the tarp in between the dugout and the bullpen. And again, Rick Tittle joining us here on opening day in a season where it feels like they get it. Finally, they get it. Be good to your fan base. You don't have to give them a lot, just a little pride. A fresh coat of paint on any building is appreciated. The flags out in Champions Plaza. I mean, why even call it Champion Plaza if you aren't going to fly the damn flags? They're finally doing it. And I know as a proud East Bay resident, this must just hit your A's heart in all kinds of right ways.
It's great because you couldn't, in the last 20 years, you couldn't just be an Oakland fan without worrying about all three teams leaving. That was always a little undercurrent. And we know that this organization tried harder than anybody to leave. And kicking and screaming, they had to stay. And I love the attitude of, screw it, we have to stay. Let's embrace it. Let's just love the city. Let's treat our fans with respect. And let's see what happens. And this is the perfect salve after what happened last Monday with the Raiders announcement. It was sort of like when KD came to the Warriors, we kind of forgot about the Game 7, 6, or those meltdowns.
Right.
It just feels good to come here and know that they're going to stay. There's so few things in life that aren't temporary anyway. Just to know they're going to stay and that they want to stay and that these fans are embraced. Because for the last 20 years, it's just been, we hate it here. We don't like the stadium. We don't like the town. We can't wait to get out. We can't spend any money. Now, on the field, it's still going to be a very, very poor defensive team. They've got a rotation that...
You noticed that, too. Where's the gold glove? Where is it? There is no.
Well, they have one maybe, but he platoons in Alonso. I mean, that would be...
Right.
That would be bad. But the thing is I don't care. I'm going to have fun this season. I know they're not going to the playoffs. Anything's possible. That would be great. But we're just going to have fun for once and be embraced because unrequited love, we try to love the team and they pushed us away. Now they're embracing us.
Yeah. How many times will Ricky Henderson refer to himself in the third person tonight during his own field dedication?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story about Ricky because, yes, we're looking very forward to that. But I was just up in the press conference room because he was supposed to be there at 5 for the press conference. I bailed at 5:11 because I knew I had to come here. So... we were all waiting for him.
He's late.
I love Rick. Rick, to me, is when they traded Ricky Henderson to the Yankees, I was heartsick. When they got him back in 89, a lot of people said, how can you screw with this team? And I thought, what? Polonia is leading off. Now you have Ricky Henderson
right.
Leading off. So he'll always be embraced here, the pride of Oakland Tech. We love Ricky, and I just love the fact that, I mean, the Giants have done it so right for years. Cepeda, Mays, Marichal, they embrace their stars, and finally the A's are doing the same thing.
And it's not just the Ricky Field dedication. You know, we see what's happening with Bill King, who's finally getting the recognition he deserves. And ironically, he's enshrined in the Hall of Fame. What most Bill King fans would tell you was his third strongest sport, you know? It's amazing. He's the best basketball play-by-play guy maybe ever. He really is. It's like Bill King, Marv Albert, that's the list. It really, really is. Kevin Harlan's working his way up to it. You know, Mike Breen, these guys. But
right. He
was unbelievable. As a Raider play-by-play guy, I mean, you know, Pop is only second to him, right? I mean.
Yeah, he's the voice of my childhood. All my three favorite teams, it was all him. And the reason that he didn't get more love is because he wasn't national, like you said.
Right.
And I don't need a sports writer in Boston to tell me how good he was. I know how good he was.
He's, oh, Dan like Shaughnessy, said, tell me more.
Really, let's get Bob Ryan. But still, it took a long time. It's just too bad, like Stabler, that it's posthumous.
Right. It really is. Oh, no. Look at you. You're just so worked up with emotion
these
days.
I sucked in a midge. Oh, wait. That's only at the Jake, right?
Yes.
I'm getting so choked up, Gianna.
Okay.
Yes, Damon.
Let's get Rick a sip before.
Like some water?
I would hate
get
to. I would
it's
hate
my
for
first
him
time
to
on
miss.
The radio.
I would hate for him to miss the entire 2017 season because we lost him due to him choking on what maybe wasn't. I don't know what
emotion. I'm okay now. Thank
okay,
you.
Good. I'm glad you're okay now. It is the 50th season here at the Coliseum. There's an awful lot of talk about what might be a new stadium coming in the near future. Mm-hmm. And we need that date for two reasons. Number one, it's just another feel-good moment and the future's promised to you. Number two, tomorrow never comes. But when that stadium is announced, that season is the tomorrow season that every A's decision needs to be pointed at. We wish Sonny Gray could be pitching tonight for two reasons. Number one, love watching him pitch. Number two, if you're out of it and this guy gives you value, you are trading him for three players that could all be involved in that new stadium opening day lineup 4 years from now, if that's when it happens. Sonny Gray is more important to the A's future this season than anyone could possibly imagine.
Well, and that's the thing is that you said value. If he's having a bad year, you don't trade him for garbage. You right. hold on to him and hope that he gets better again. Yeah. But you make a great point. This is the 11th different starting day pitch, opening day pitcher in the last 12 years. Think about that. Now, last year he had a stomach ache, and so Rich Hill was a stomach ache, whatever it was, dysentery. Right. He wasn't able to come out. But the turnover is huge. I'm hoping, Damon, that that's the plan, that when they do get that new stadium, they start holding on to guys going into their arbiters, like Gio Gonzalez, like Josh Donaldson, and not say, oh, we can't afford them someday in their first arbiter. That's ridiculous. I don't accept that from it. That's an organization with zero ambition. So I hope they have that kind of ambition when that day comes. I remember when the stadium was announced. This reminds me a lot of when McGowan and Shorenstein came in for the Giants. They said, look, we don't really like Candlestick, but we're going to do everything we can to make it nice. We're putting in a tartan track. We're putting in real dugouts. We're putting in real bleachers. And then when they announced their stadium, I went to that groundbreaking party, but in right field they had a sign, and it said like 875 days. And the next day it would say 874. And I thought, right. that day will never come. What's that, the year 2000? And it did come. So I'm waiting for that day where we can have a sign somewhere in this stadium that says only 875 more days till the next day. I love this place. I grew up here. I'm one of the few people left on the planet that really loves this place. But I understand progress, and I understand that a new boutique baseball-only stadium will blow this place away.
Absolutely. It would, and it would reinvigorate the city's connection with this team. I think it could reinvigorate downtown. A lot of pride that a town displays to you, whether it's a false display or it's real, comes from the relationships it has with its teams. And obviously, the Warriors are always going to be a point of pride, but it's going to chat people wrong when they cross the bridge, but at least they're just a bridge away. What the Raiders have done to me is criminal. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting. I cannot get behind it at all.
I agree.
And it is time for the A's to now be the team around here, and they have started. It's good to see you, man. I'm so sorry that you almost choked to death during this interview, but it was really good talking to you other than the near passing.
Yes. So it's my first time on the radio. I'm sorry I literally choked. Gianna, always great to see you as well. Damon, man.
Happy New Year.
To see you. Happy New Year to you here. And that's what it is. It's a new year. And like I said, for A's fans, we can relax. Just watch our team and have fun for once.
Enjoy the game.
That's the best part.
Enjoy the game, if I can quote Jeff Kent from a few years ago. Thank you so much to Rick Tittle for stopping on by. We are told that Jarrell Cotton's going to be by soon enough, and we're looking forward to all that. Hopefully you are too. We got a half an hour left here in a great opening day broadcast live from the Coliseum.
I'm Gianna Franco. It's opening day at the Coliseum, and we are live from the soon-to-be Ricky Henderson Field as the A's and Angels get ready to face off today. On the mound, Kendall Graveman against Ricky Nolasco. Coverage starts at 6 o'clock, so keep it locked right here on 95.7 Game. Also trending, Steph Curry. He's been named the Western Conference Player of the Week tonight. NCAA Championship, Gonzaga and North Carolina. That tips off at 6:20. And the Redskins have agreed to terms with linebacker Zach Brown. NFL owners have started renewal talks with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. His contract's up in 2019. We are brought to you by Comcast SportsNet, home of the authentic Giants and Warriors fans. CSN Now, NBC Sports Bay Area, powered by Xfinity. I'm Gianna Franco, and that's what's trending now.
Technically, we're jumping the gun on Ricky Henderson Field just a little, but that is what it's going to be called by the time the sun goes down in Oakland tonight. It will be dedicated in an on-field ceremony that starts at 6:20 p.m., emceed by the one and only Ken Korak. He is going to rededicate, I believe, the broadcast booth to Bill King, enshrined in the Hall of Fame as a Ford C. Frick Award winner,
awesome.
Which all of a sudden we have more and more of here in the Bay Area, and there'll be more and more when it's all said and done. I made Ken blush a little bit when I said, you'll be getting fricked one day yourself, buddy. He should be. He really, really should be. It is a beautiful night here at the Coliseum. Shadows are starting to fall on the field a little bit as the sun starts to go down, and it's getting a little cooler, so dress warm tonight, obviously, but the conditions are just perfect for opening day here for the Oakland A's. We've had an awful lot of fun talking to a whole bunch of guys, and we're about to talk to another, Jarrell Cotton, A's starter, about to sit down and join us here on 95.7 The Game. We'll go ahead and get you all set up and equipped and wired into the program here. Jarrell, Damon Bruce, how are you, man?
Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. Thanks for stopping on by. This is Gianna Franco, and Happy
Hi.
New Year. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
It's great to finally meet you, man. This is your first Major League opening day. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited.
Yep. And now we were just talking with Sean, and obviously you two guys, you don't have much to do tonight. You just got to look good in that uniform, make sure it's all buttoned up and stays nice and white and clean all the evening. You're not going to be playing, so you just get a great view this evening.
Yeah, we got that, and now we're going to cheer on our team and go for the victory. It's going to be a fun night.
Very nice, man. It's great to see you. Last year, you made your Major League debut. 5 games. You're undefeated, baby. 2-0.
That's a great feeling.
The ERA and the WHIP also very, very impressive. Obviously, they acquired you in the trade with Rich Hill, and it's just been great to see you take to the Major Leagues so well. I mean, it's really nice to look good in that first moment or two, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great feeling, you know, getting traded, coming over to the A's, working with some of the pitching coaches and stuff, helping me out with some mechanical issues, and I just ran with it, you know, got called up, and I just was focused, and I pitched.
And think of all that batting practice they saved you over here in the American League, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I miss hitting, though, man.
Oh, you do?
I miss hitting. I love to hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
A guy who liked to climb in and hit a little.
Yeah, a little bit, you know. Like to run the bases when I get a base hit.
Nice, nice. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you're from the Virgin Islands. You then came to the U.S. when you were, what, 16?
16. So I'll retract a little bit. So I was about 12 years old. My mom passed. I moved to the U.S. Virgin Islands from the British.
Okay.
And I lived there for about 4 years with my uncle, played baseball there, had a bunch of coaches, one in particular, Darren Kenton. He showed me the way a little bit more with traveling, baseball, and stuff like that. And then at 16, I moved to the States by the name of another coach, Brock Rieke, lived with his family, played my first high school baseball in the United States, and I won a state tournament. So that was pretty cool, and from there on, it's history.
So natural throwing motion, that you just you had a big arm, and they found it early, huh?
Yeah, I was actually a right fielder back in high school, and I had the big arm, so I went to college to pitch, and I had that changeup, and I just pitched from there on.
What's the difference between the British Virgin Islands and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and if you had stayed in the British Virgin Islands, would you have been a cricket player?
No. Baseball is my love. Actually, my first sport was track and field, but baseball is my first love. And, I mean, it's fun, man. The British Virgin Islands is not as different from the U.S. It's bigger in the U.S. That's about it. Same currency, same everything. So nothing different at all.
Jarrell Cotton, who'd you grow up rooting for?
The New York Mets.
It's okay. It's all right. We can talk about these things. We're accepting of all fans around here. It's okay.
Well, it's because of two guys in particular. Like, you had Mike Piazza, the catcher.
Sure.
And I love Pedro Martinez. I love watching him pitch. And he was with the Boston Red Sox, and he went over to the Mets. So I just watched him growing up.
That's nice, man. That's nice. Did you get a lot of baseball when you were watching? You know, you're like, obviously, if you were growing up as a kid in the islands, you probably didn't get that many games, did you?
No, we did not. We had ESPN, but we had WB11, which is for the Mets, the New York Mets now.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Well, it's good that you're here. Obviously, life has changed dramatically for you. This is a young rotation that I think has a ton of upside to it. We were talking with Keith Law, who is an analyst for ESPN, and we said, you know, 2 or 3 guys that you think are really, really going to be cornerstones for this team 4 or 5 years from now who are in the rotation tonight. And your name was the first name that he brought up, and he talked about your changeup being one of the best probably in baseball right now, and he says it's your out pitch. Tell us a little bit about how you worked on this changeup and why it works for you so well.
Well, age 10, playing in the British Virgin Islands, my coach, Terrence Shinnery, he showed me the grip and showed me how to turn it over, and he was like, work on this pitch. But I was basically a curveball pitcher growing up, and by the age 16.
Straight change, circle, what is it?
Circle change, okay. Yeah, circle change, and like I said, I was a curveball pitcher. I loved the curveball. And at the age of 16, we played like in a senior league Caribbean World Series thing in St. Thomas, and I was playing long toss one time, and I started throwing that pitch, the changeup again, and it had tremendous movement, so I was like, I got to stick with this pitch. So from there on, I just kept throwing it, and it was a great out pitch, so I just kept it in my arsenal.
Jarrell Cotton here on 95.7 The Game on opening day here for the Oakland A's. And we see the Rooted in Oakland campaign. Everyone knows the Raiders are leaving. Are you happy to see everything the A's are doing to throw their arms around the city of Oakland, throw a little love back and forth? It's overdue.
Oh, yeah, I love it. The A's are doing a lot. You know, the fans, we love the fans. We're trying to do a lot more in the community with the fans and everything else. And so far, so good. I think we're going in the right direction. Just got to keep going there.
I would imagine that among your goals is to stay healthy all year, 32, 33 starts. That's what everyone sets up as the number in their mind that they're comfortable talking about. I just want to start all my games. Let's talk about a couple of numbers. Have you set any other numbers for yourself, some personal goals that you want to see happen this year that are going to make you just happy with what you're doing? I know it's a team sport, and, if, you know, I'm sure you got all the cliches ready to go. Just want to go out and win and do everything I can do to help the team win. But let's talk about some of your personal goals. I'm fascinated by you. What would be a good year for you this year?
You said it, man, like the wins. But I want to go out there and give my team a chance to win. So that means going six or more innings,
yeah.
Quality starts. If I can have a lot of quality starts, then I know my numbers will show up. And, I mean, I love strikeouts. So getting guys out when I get two strikes with the strikeout is key for me. And like I said, man, just go out there and win and have fun with the team. And big goal is to get a lot of wins.
We asked the same question to Sean, so we're not putting you on the spot here. Are you more comfortable throwing to Vogt or Fegley? Is there a guy who stands out to you?
I think they're both good. I work with Fegley a lot this spring because last year I worked with Vogt when I got called up. But I like throwing to both. I mean, like I said, I work with Fegley a lot. And I like throwing to one catcher in particular, though, as Bruce Maxwell. That's my guy. But between Vogt and Fags, I have no favorites. I think they're both good. I like throwing to both. I feel comfortable with both, and they're good.
There's an old saying in baseball that you're not really a major leaguer until you get traded. You got traded before you made your major league debut. What was that like? Did it jar you a little bit? Were you disappointed to be traded? Did you think that was an evaluation of you in any way? How did your agent break it to you?
I wasn't disappointed. I felt like it was coming. I mean, the Dodgers had something in particular for me, and for some reason I didn't fit what they wanted. So I knew it was going to happen, and when I got traded, I was like, okay, brand new eyes.
We just need Rich Hill's blister. That's the difference. We have to have Rich Hill's blister in L.A., or there's no way we're going to go on to meet the Cubs.
Exactly. But, I mean, like, it's a good feeling, like, being put in that trade, like, as a key part to their success over there. So coming here and finding my way to the big leagues, having different eyes on me, definitely helped me a lot with my career. So I'm excited about the trade, and I'm happy to be here.
Jarrell Cotton on 95.7 The Game. This team is embracing its old, you know, its historic players. We're going to see Ricky Henderson get the field dedicated to him here tonight. Have you met Ricky Henderson?
I met him last year when I got traded to the Nashville Sounds. Cool guy. Outspoken. He talked to me a little bit.
He looks like he can still play, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's ripped, man. He's
cut.
He's big.
He's cut. He is.
Yeah, he's big, man. I'm surprised he's not playing right now. But he's a great guy. Great guy to talk to. Love him around the clubhouse. So
very cool. Well, hey, Jarrell, I know it's a big, busy night for you guys. Not that you're going to throw a single pitch this evening, but I know you want to get back with your teammates. Thanks for coming out here and joining us.
Of course.
They always make the young guys do this, and we appreciate it. It was a real pleasure meeting you. And when you're all big and famous winning Cy Youngs, remember us, all right, man?
I will.
All
thank
right.
you for having me
Jarrell
on the show.
Cotton, thank you very much for joining us here. It's good to have him on, man. What a trip from the St. Thomas Virgin Islands to Oakland, California, and he will be out on the mound before this homestand is over. So very, very cool. Nice young guy.
I mean, props to the A's young pitching staff. How nice are they?
They're fantastic.
Incredibly friendly and polite.
Fantastic. Well, you got an Indiana guy. You got a guy from the Virgin Islands. You know, these are not guys who grew up, you know, in the big city, all cocky and grandiose. They come from humble beginnings. And, you know, it's good to come from humble beginnings if you're going to be an Oakland A, because humble is kind of what they do around here. You know, they do it in a way that makes this a very approachable, laid-back clubhouse. You know, the youth movement rules here in Oakland. And it's been like that since the youth movement contained guys like Zito and Hudson and Mulder. You know, we're looking at Graveman and Cotton and Manaea. That might be your next Zito, Hudson, Mulder.
Right.
That's certainly what the plan is and what they're hoping for, because you can keep those guys around for a major league song compared to what everyone costs when they become Zito, Hudson, and Mulder. So this is there will be growing pains this year. Jarrell Cotton is going to absolutely get hammered a couple weeks. Graveman's going to get hammered maybe tonight. It's going to happen. There are still growing pains for these guys. None of them are Madison Bumgarner yet. None of them is automatic win day yet. Hopefully, all of them collectively are get you to the seventh inning more often than not, because that's going to take the pressure off this ball club in a tremendous way. But it's just going to be a season where you're looking for building blocks. Who's a guy that you think you're going to want on a second contract by right. the time a new stadium is opening? The next 3 or 4 years, I know you don't want to keep hearing this, are about 3 or 4 years from now. It is time to target, you know, we are dying to get the date of that new stadium mm-hmm. on the books, because that will be the target date for playoff contention, real major league spending, and not to mention we'll victory lap the hell out of it, because on our very first show together we said that we were going to get a new ballpark built. And even though we'll have nothing to do with it, we will take full credit for that.
Absolutely.
It's as is tradition.
Hey, put it out in the universe. You never know.
That's what we did. We put it out there. It's like the secret. Just put it out. Isn't that right,
Oprah?
That's
how it works.
Isn't that right? We just put it in the universe. We will speak it into existence. New ballpark. New ballpark. New ballpark. That's going to be nice. Meanwhile, this old yard is celebrating her 50th birthday tonight. A couple of smile lines, some crow's feet for sure. Little too much construction, little too much plastic
surgery. Little too
surgery
much work on the top there.
In that center field, yep. No, there's no doubt. Not as pretty as she used to be, but you know what? She can still get it done.
Still
and
love her.
Tonight, hopefully, we'll see the A's go on to do something they normally do not do on opening day, and that's post a win. The good news is it's not King Felix going against you tonight. It'll be Kendall Graveman going up against Ricky Nolasco with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. We're still doing that?
Yes, we are.
God, we're still doing that. When we return, we want to dip back into the Warriors for just one more segment this afternoon. It's been all baseball this hour, and rightfully so. After all, it's opening day on 95.7 The Game. We saw what the Giants did last night, left everyone with a bad taste in their mouths. But the Golden State Warriors continue to do all kinds of Golden State Warrior things, and it is lifted Steph Curry to be named Player of the Week. They've now won 11 in a row. And when it comes to an evolutionary step, this will be a more important team in terms of historical footnote than even the Bulls. And I'll explain that all when we come back for a final segment from here at the Coliseum ahead of Chris Townsend and the Dugout Show, which begins at a special time tonight, 6 o'clock this evening on 95.7 The Game. Welcome back. It is great for you to be here. It is opening day at the Coliseum. It is a beautiful day here at the Coliseum. We've got one segment left here and an awful lot of people to thank for getting us up and on the air today. Wanted to come back in there with a little Steph Curry. Have you got that, Dave Feldhaus? You want to fire that for me here and now? Thank you.
He had an amazing night. That layup he hit in transition was unreal.
He was phenomenal. Shot amazing percentage. Felt like everything off his fingertips was going to go in.
Had a great game. He was phenomenal.
My left stroke just went viral.
Saved by McCaw. Grabbed by Draymond. To Curry for three. Got it. Curry gets it back in the corner. Fake score. Time. A look away three. Oh, my goodness.
He's humble and cocky at the same time, which is why we like him.
Pulls up. Takes a three off the dribble. Knocked it down. Steph Curry's just having his way right now. Curry down the right side. Behind the back. Dribbles in. Goes in traffic. Throws up a reverse. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Nah, ain't nobody gonna say nothing. I'm old school, so like I said, you better be glad he shot that three and then go to the rack.
Be humble. Sit down. Be humble.
In baseball, they insist you're humble. Don't pimp your own home run. Do not bat flip. That's what the old Vanguard says. You can go ahead and pimp your home run, but there is a difference between a respectful amount of home run pimpage and taking it a little too far. And again, I can't tell you exactly what it is, but I know it when I see it. I know it when I see it, and so do opposing pitchers. And I do think that baseball needs a little bit more culture, a little bit more fun in it, and it's not going to hurt anybody if you laugh a little bit more along with baseball. You had a whole bunch of people on the court for the Warriors not laughing. Well, it was really the Washington Wizards who got all upset that We saw JaVale McGee uncork a three last night to avoid a shot clock violation. And Bradley Beal's talking about how that's an unwritten rule and there's a violation there and shame on the world. It's JaVale McGee shooting a three, for goodness sakes.
I know.
You know what would be a little bit of a shot? I guess if it were Steph or Clay, that would be pouring it on at that point. Here is the unwritten rule about the shot clock situation. As long as the shot clock is ticking, you take a shot.
Right.
That's it. I don't want to hear that. There's no way we have to eat a possession so you don't get further embarrassed tonight. Like, I thought you were tough, Washington Wizards. I'm dead serious. I want the Golden State Warriors to not just beat teams. It's step on your throat time of the year. That's what it is. It's time for the supervillain to remind everyone how super and villainous they really are. And you don't do that by riding out the end of the fourth quarter as smoothly as possible. You put it on them.
Have a little
the
edge.
Whole damn game. Now, if JaVale had taken that shot with the shot clock off, clear violation. You do not use your last 24 seconds when you're ahead and the other team isn't fouling. You don't. Even in a two-possession game, if they're going to concede you the game, you take the concession and you do not pad your stats with a shot. That would have been an unwritten rule violation that I would even be saying, like, come on, JaVale, you know better. This whole thing is a Wizard overreaction to JaVale McGee doing it, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And this team, it's time for this team to throw down dunks, threes, and middle fingers on the entire NBA. Charles Barkley, this one's for you. Shaquille O'Neal, this one's for you. Hey, Nick Wright, this is for you, buddy. We'll have to keep on explaining to him what true greatness looks like, since he does not seem to recognize it. This team is now tied, what everybody's warm and fuzzy memory is, of the greatest basketball team they ever saw, the Chicago Bulls. Look, that was a great basketball team. I'm going to tell you, it's one of the greatest basketball teams I ever saw. This team, with five games remaining, has won as many games over the course of 3 years as the Chicago Bulls have, and they are going to set the record for win standards over three seasons. They're tied with the Bulls right now at 203. And by the way, in Cleveland, it's known as blew a 3-1 lead. You know, some people just won't come off their talking point. Do you understand how much more historically significant the Golden State Warriors will be to the history of basketball than anything that's happened in Cleveland? Like, LeBron James is a historically significant player, but nothing the Cavs have done, not even anything the Miami Heat did really, was as historically significant as what we're watching this Golden State Warrior team do. Curry is redefining basketball in front of our eyes. Last year we basked in it. A singular season of shooting, which isn't going to be duplicated maybe ever again. The Warriors and what they're doing now, they will go down in history as the next major evolutionary step in the history of basketball. They're the biggest thing since the shot clock. That's how much the Warriors are changing the game. The biggest steps in basketball's evolution are as follows. In my humble, didn't even research it, just here they are opinion.
Okay.
The changing of the goaltending rule. Being allowed to dunk, the shot clock, and the three-point line. Those are the biggest evolutionary steps we have seen, the biggest changes to this game. You could talk free agency, of course. You could talk about how the players are drafted. Yes, that's all building mechanics. But actual on-court, on-game changes, goaltending, dunking, shot clock, three-point line. But the three-point line's been around for a really, really long time. No one in the history of basketball has used the three-point line the way the Warriors started using it a few years ago. Now we see Houston copycat that.
Yeah.
Other teams, if you look at it this way, if you're not playing from the three-point line, you ain't going to be playing in the playoffs for very long. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is right now, and there's no reason to pretend it isn't. Kyle Madsen, again, he covers the Niners, but he's a big Warrior fan. He was tweeting last night. Just to give you a little perspective, Steph Curry has made over 700 three-pointers in his last 154 games. Over 700 threes in 154 games. Larry Bird made 649 in his career.
Wow.
In his in less than two seasons, Steph hits more threes than Larry Bird hit in his career. Larry Bird was the guy who used to walk into the three-point shooting contest during the NBA All-Star Week and say, who's shooting for second? full uniform, Larry, in his warm-ups, who's shooting for second. That's how good of a shooter he was. Some guy replied to Kyle going, well, you know, he was a forward, so it really doesn't count. He was not taking shots like that. So can we all agree that Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson, they were guards? We agree on that, okay? Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas combined for 723 threes in their career. Again, Steph has 704 in his last 154 games.
That's amazing.
So please, this is an evolutionary step in the history of the NBA. If the Warriors never won another title, they're one of the 10 most important teams as they're built, as they're constructed, and as they're playing right now when you look back to tell the history of professional basketball. The history of Major League Baseball is going to be on full display here in Oakland tonight as the team re-embraces its past in a way that has been way too long coming. Congratulations. Dave Cavill, this is your day, buddy. You've been creating the excitement, and a lot of people are excited for this. We got a lot of people to thank. Thanks to Keith Law, Glenn Kuyper, Ken Korak, Bruce Jenkins, Sean Manaya, Jarrell Cotton, Jose Canseco, Rick Tittle. Thanks to everyone who got us up and on the air today. Gianna, thank you as always. Albie, thank you. Thanks to Juan and Zach of the A's for bringing us these players today. Great stuff, guys. Thanks very much to David and Raul. Awesome stuff. Wireless. Beautiful. You guys kicked ass today. Not a glitch to be seen or heard. This was fantastic. Thanks so much to everyone back in the studio.
No sound effect for Dave Feldhaus.
And, of course, Bouton Vixon. Thank you. Chris Townsend, The Dugout Show, comes up next. Happy New Year. And remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.